Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
They bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long once more to be with my friends at the old country church. All my thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Good morning, everyone, and greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we come this morning, we come in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we come seeking and asking for the presence of the Holy Spirit to be with us, to give us greater understanding of this, your word, Father, and to lead us into all truth, and to help each and every one of us, Father, not only to read, study your word, but to take it and begin to live it, Father. And once again, we ask you, Father, to bless this word this morning. We ask, Father, for you to strengthen those of us that are here this morning. You know why the others are not. Now, Jesus, let us know what you have in mind for this little church. Whether to keep it going, Father, or whether to close the doors. Now, Father, be with us throughout this day. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. You know, we've got too many that are listening to mankind instead of listening to God. They let people talk them out of going to church where they should be. And what I'm praying about right now, I'm thinking about, instead of spending hundreds of dollars out here through the wintertime for gas, paying for lights is really not needed, because we don't have anybody that's really interested in this church. And I'm thinking about, very seriously, I'm praying about it. It depends on what God tells me. Whether I close this church and have Bible study at my home, which is really what I'm thinking about. I can have it there just as easy. In fact, a lot easier and a lot less expensive than by having it here. Because people are not listening to the Word of God. And most, you can't even get them there to hear it. Only once in a while, if they need something or want something, then they'll show up. Other than that, they don't do it. And a lot of times, even if they get what they need, they don't show up. I know. We've been putting out some money. We don't see them here. And some of them has never been here at all. But anyway, we're going to take a look at Romans chapter 8. The title of this chapter is Life in the Spirit. I'm going to begin here with verse 1. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. If Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. For if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time were not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption unto the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why does he yet hope for? But we hope for that we see not. Then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Pardon me. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angel, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And may the Lord add his blessing unto the reading of this his word. And now may the Holy Spirit come forward to share with you and I the things that God has for us. You know, I told Jill Thursday that I had bought the stuff to make this anointed oil. And I'm going to anoint me right now because I'm asking God for his healing power. And I'm anointing myself in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And may this all be the contact of the Holy Spirit upon this body. And we're asking this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We back up here now. We find there's a whole lot here in this chapter. And a whole lot that mankind is not living today, because he's not out to please God. He's out to please himself. And he's using himself with pride to stay out of the church and stay away from God. But you know, the thing about that is it's sad because they're on their way to hell and don't even know it. They don't realize most mankind today actually believe that there is no hell. And a lot of them that do believe that there is a hell believes that you're just there for a short period of time. Well, that much is true. You'd be there 1,000 years, which to God, an eternity is a short period of time. But it's where hell is going and taking you with it, that you don't want, because when that 1,000 years is up of God's reign here on this earth, There'll be what is called, in God's word, the great white throne judgment. And it's at that time that hell and all that's in hell will be cast into that lake of fire. And as the word tells us, where the worm never dies, there's no end to it. And you'll burn throughout eternity. And most of us on the earth today, not me, because I'm one to exclude it from this, but most at 80 degrees, we think it's terrible. We think it's so hot, we just can't hardly stand it. Man, that ain't nothing. That wouldn't even be like the heat from a match to where most are taking their souls today. And there's no sense in it. None whatsoever. It's not that hard. Is it easy? No. Because God made it easy for us to do, and it is actually easy to live. If you will do away with yourself. But you've got to take yourself out of the equation and turn everything over completely unto the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit of Almighty God. Now here in verse 1 he says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And that's what we must do. We must walk after things of the Spirit. And how do we learn to do that? We learn to do that through the Word of Almighty God. And we need to come together so that we can really learn about the Spirit, because most of us on our own don't have that kind of understanding. And unless we belong to the Lord God and we are walking on our own, we'll never have it. He tells us that we'll never understand it. The only way we have an understanding of the Word of God is through the Holy Spirit. And as we read, he gives us what we need from God's Word. That's the way we learn the truth of it. Verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Are we really free from the sin and from death caused by sin? You see, when he's talking about sin, he's talking about here in 2, he's talking about that separation from God. That's death. So many of us today are walking in death. You know, they have a show on television called The Walking Dead. Well, I don't watch it. Now, I've had to pass over it a time or two, because I don't watch things that way. But that's what a lot of mankind is today. In fact, most of mankind here in our own land, we're sitting in church claiming to be born again children of God, and they are among the walking dead because they don't have him. They don't know him because they want to do things their way instead of God's way. They have no peace really, because without God there is no peace. You don't really have peace in the family because they're always arguing and all, and one up keeping another one upset. Unless that family belongs to God. With us on our work. Without God with you, you ain't going to have much peace there either. Because somebody's going to get on your nerves. And if you don't have God, and you let what happened get on your nerves, and you get upset about it, there's no peace. And when we walk with strife in our life, from any source, it can bring on a lot of things. It opens the door for Satan to reach in to bring something against you. And without God and the Holy Spirit, just on your own, you can't stand against him. He'll get his way made. You see, that's the way he causes destruction to a lot of mankind. He don't have to bring sickness. He can, but he don't have to bring it that way. But when he does, know God, know Christ, know that the Lord Jesus, if you have to go through a period of time in sickness, that the Lord Jesus is there with you. And he'll see you through it. However long it takes, he's always there with you, and he'll see you through it. And you'll come out stronger than you went in. But a lot of people don't believe these things. But it's all in God's word. Now, verse 3, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. That was why Jesus came. And he also was not just our Savior and one for you and I to go to for the forgiveness of our sins and to have salvation, but he was also an example. He lived on this earth for 30 years just like you and I, without the Holy Spirit, on his own, in the flesh, tempted. According to God's word, he was tempted just like you and I, said in all the ways that we are. And yet he was without sin, letting us know you can live this life without sin. Don't listen to these out here telling you you can't live a life without sin. Yeah, you can. Not on your own. You see, that's why he came. He came so we wouldn't be on our own. He went back to heaven so we would not be by ourselves. And we have the Holy Spirit of Almighty God within us. And that's not always so either. A lot of them out here saying, well, oh yeah, Holy Spirit's in me because I was baptized. I was baptized from water, so the Holy Spirit's in me. They just automatically give no. No. They don't really study God's word to find out. Let them really study and read the book of Acts. See how many times people that were baptized, that was baptized in John's baptism, had to be rebaptized, and then even days later. In some places, it don't tell us how long, but we know that they had to come from other places to them, which back then took a while to do. Wasn't like going out here and getting in a nice speedy car and making it shortly. Took days and weeks and even longer to get there. It lets us know that they had to wait. Because God will not give us something we will not use. He don't work that way. Verse 4. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. Who? Who's us? Those that are walking in the Spirit, not out here in the flesh, in this world, and taking on the things of this world out here. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. We're seeing so much of that verse right there being turned around backwards. Because they're after the things of the flesh rather than being after things of the Spirit. Because if that was not so, this church this morning would be full. Because you see them all through the service, back and forth out here on this highway, on this roadway out here. They ain't got time to go to church. They've got to be concerned with things of the world. There are certain things we need, yes. But when we walk in the Spirit, we find we don't need near as much as we thought we needed when we was in the world. And we can find and make time for the church. These ways of doing it. It's just the idea of wanting to do it instead of wanting to keep things quiet and just do things our way. I received a phone call. Told me, he says, I can't be at church Sunday morning. Because people that goes to another church passes by there. And they'll see me there. And they'll be on me. Because they want me to go to their church and I won't go. So neither would they come here. All because they didn't want to be seen. We talk about worldly things. A lot of things we just don't think about. Being worldly. Now, verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. When you walk in the Spirit, it don't matter what Satan will bring against you, what hardship you're going through, there is still a peace inside because the Lord is there with you. Because no child of God is ever alone. Because what does his word tell us? Jesus said, I come to live in you. He didn't say, I'm going to be coming back and forth. He said, I'm going to come and make my abode there. But we don't find too many of them, do we? That will listen to that or believe that and walk that way. 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. The carnal mind can't be with God. He won't have it. God is not going to entertain sin at all. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. You know, you can't get any stronger than the Word of God. He lays it right out for us. But now he goes on to tell us about those that are of the Spirit. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. You know, this message this morning is going around the world. And I'm hoping there is some out there that is really receiving this message and getting their life straightened out and becoming the children of Almighty God. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. You see, when Christ comes in, sin is gone. You don't commit sin anymore, because if you do, Christ is not going to stay. He is not going to stay where there is sin. And he's not going to keep going back and forth. Now, we can get on over into Hebrews and find out about that a little stronger. And one of these days, God willing, we will. We're not going there right now. Verse 11. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. He'll see that you have the things you need. He'll take care of you if you belong to him. But you have got to be fully and totally committed unto him. Now, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. 13, for if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. You know, God's Word lays it all out. And when the Holy Spirit is with you, he lets you know what these verses are really saying and talking about to you. Letting you know, I can live according to God's will and his way. I don't have to live according to the ways of this world out here. Even though I'm passing through it, I don't have to live according to it. And don't anymore. There was a time I did, yes. But the Lord forgave me. I don't need the world no more. I'm just passing through. It's not my home. Now, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. 15. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And the only way we can call him our Father is if we have the Holy Spirit with us. And Jesus made the way for us to go to him. He made the way to where you and I can go directly to the Father in prayer. Under the law, they couldn't do it. They had to go through a priest. But now, our high priest has already made the way for us. And he made the way so we can go directly to the Father. And that's why the Word tells us to pray to the Father in Jesus' name. And he'll hear from heaven. And we know if he hears from heaven, then he will give us what we need. Now, 16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. You can know whether you are a child of God or not, truly, if you've got the Spirit, and that's the only way you can know and be assured that you've got heaven made your home. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. That's why we as a church are to be a family. We are to be a family here on this earth, as well as being part of God's family in the Spirit. And then one day we'll go home to be with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, throughout eternity. What a difference it makes. Now, here in verse 21, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. 22. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. 23. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our bodies. One day that will happen. But when that happens, our bodies are going back to dust from which it came. And our spirit can go on to be with our Heavenly Father and our family there. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why does he yet hope for? We hear a whole lot in a lot of our churches about hope, don't we? They have no idea, actually, of the meaning of the word hope, or what the Scripture has to say about it. All right. I'm going to take one more and we're going to close out for the day. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. You see, there are times, and I know I have them, times where I know I need to be in prayer. But right then, I don't really know what I need to be praying for. But I go to prayer anyway. And the Spirit will take it and pray because he knows what I need and the help I'll need. This is something most of mankind today don't understand and cannot accept. They want things their own way. I do want to make a couple of announcements. I got a letter Saturday. From a brother. I have been taking care of several things for him. He has several things in storage. And he lives a ways off. You've heard me speak about him many times. Terry sent me a letter telling me to sell all he has in this storage and give the money to the church. I'm not sure, because I don't go check on a lot of things, on what all he's got in there besides tools. But I know he's got several thousand dollars worth of tools. They're snap-on tools, because he was a mechanic. And he told me to sell it. Give the money to the church. He's also owed some money on one that he bought tool chest from him for $1,000. He told me to take that money also and give to the church. He needs our prayers. His health is not good at all. It's also one of our church deacons, Terry Coates. So as we go to the Lord in prayer, let's remember Terry. We know the Lord knows what he's done. So let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, as we close your word and we come to you in prayer, Father, we come lifting up Terry. You know his heart, Father. You know his standing. You know that, Father, that what he's giving Father, you know already what it will bring. But Father, help us to use it all according to your will, according to your way, as you would have it. Make us good stewards, Father, of the finances of this church. Let it not be misused. Now, Father, your saints, wherever they are in the world, we ask the Holy Spirit to keep them safe, keep them in health, and see to their needs. For Jerusalem and Israel, we pray for peace for them, Father. Because we know as of right now, they are having very little of any kind of peace. Father, this land of ours has turned its back and walked so far away from you and from the Lord Jesus Christ and from your word, trying to do away with all of it. Help us, Father. Help us to be able to reach out. To be able, Father, to see this land to repent for the things it's done so it can be healed once again. And our government put back upon the foundation of which it was founded, that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray for everybody in this church. For Pastor Dennis, Pastor Kenny, for Brother James, Sister Millie, Brother Bobby, for my wife, Father, for my family, for each of their families. Because, Father, we all have family members that are lost. Holy Spirit, work within our families. Speak to their hearts. Let them know that there is a better way and a way of making heaven their home. Lead them to a church, Father, that will teach the truth. Because all of us don't have all of our families here with us. But Father, this church, it's yours, it's not mine. You put me here as an overseer. Now, Father, what do we do with it? What do we do about it? Speak to me. Let me know, Father. Now, Father, be with all of us throughout the remainder of this day. Bring all of us back together this evening at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, Father, that can possibly make it. Father, it would be real nice to have some new ones join us. We're asking the Holy Spirit for one or two new ones. Now, Father, we ask all of this in that sweet, precious name of Jesus. Amen.